This is Jay Sekulow. Peter Strzok on a revisionist history tour on the Russia hoax.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Is it sloppy work or is it FBI agents trying too hard to get something on members of the Trump campaign?
I don't think at all that it's anything improper. You get people who are overworked, who make mistakes, and don't get me wrong, inexcusable mistakes.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The evidence shows that we're not dealing with just mistakes or sloppiness. There was something far more troubling here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're back in the studio. Andy Economo. I almost forgot your name. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. It's been a long time.
And you're still Harry Hutchison, right?
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure. Okay. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. We are still distancing in the studio, but we're loosening up enough that we could at least be in here, at least a number of us at a time. I wanted to go back over the Peter Strzok situation because I thought it would be appropriate to get a sense of what may be coming, with the investigation going on with John Durham. And Peter Strzok is basically on this publicity tour right now. I guess that's what you'd call it. He's got a book out. I'm not going to even name the book. A lot of people putting books out these days. I'm not going to name the book. But he's rewriting the history of it. His statement is, look, there were mistakes made. In fact, he says there were, we're going to play this, bad mistakes made. I mean, serious mistakes made. But then listen to the reason he gives.
Is it sloppy work or is it FBI agents trying too hard to get something on members of the Trump campaign?
I don't think at all that it's anything improper. You get people who are overworked, who make mistakes, and don't get me wrong, inexcusable mistakes.
Yeah, inexcusable mistakes. But Andy, let me read you a timeline. On January 4th, 2017, the FBI had drafted a document summarizing their finding of the probe so far. This was the Crossfire Razor portion of it, of whether General Flynn had been acting as a Russian agent during the 2016 campaign. The partly redacted document says that they had no derogatory information on Flynn and was prepared to close the case. So Strzok is not telling the truth. They were prepared to close the case. He wanted to keep it going.
That's exactly right. The findings were that there was no evidence against General Flynn, but the determination on the part of Peter Strzok to find something against him prevented the case from being closed, and he directed, and he was in a position to do so because he was in a high authoritative position at the FBI, that the last-minute reversal, driven, as it says, by the Bureau's highest levels of officials, including Peter Strzok, who said, hey, don't close Razor. The seventh floor is involved. In other words,
who's the seventh floor?
That's the highest echelons of the FBI.
James Comey, administrative,
McCabe, Comey,
the Bruce people, Orr at the time.
Bruce Orr, the people at the highest levels of the FBI, the J. Edgar Hoover FBI building. That's where the seventh floor is located. Peter Strzok did not want it closed. He said, no, we're going to keep it open. There's stuff that we're going to find out about him that we're determined to find out or concoct if we have to, and it's going to come from the highest echelons of the FBI, and hence we have the terrible events that transpired with respect to General Flynn.
Harry, we got less than a minute here, but give me your assessment of the excuse being put forward now by Peter Strzok, overworked.
Well, I think the excuse being put forward by Peter Strzok is simply the same excuse that he has used with respect to the malicious text that he deployed with Lisa Page. Essentially, he lied there, and he lied again yesterday or recently during his interview. He cannot, in my opinion, tell the truth after unleashing one of the most malicious incompetent investigations in human history.
I agree. All right, we're going to be joined by Than Bennett in just a moment. We're going to be taking your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to encourage you something. We launched yesterday our project for kids, a channel, baldbeagle.com, and it's already gotten a great response. Put it up on the screen there for people that want to get information. American history the way it's supposed to be. So we encourage you to go to baldbeagle.com and sign up for that and start looking at the videos as they get posted. Back with more in a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your call at 800-684-3110. So Peter Strzok's blaming the whole Russia hoax that we spent 3.5 years litigating, basically, or dealing with in the Justice Department, and two of the lawyers that are on right now, Andy and I, of course, were heavily involved in that. And now Peter Strzok's on this publicity tour about his book, saying that this was because of overwork. Now, Fan Bennett, you're in Washington, D.C. This overwork line is a joke. And I'm going to point out in a minute why, but go ahead.
Yeah, a complete joke. And he says that there were inexcusable mistakes made, no doubt. Yeah, Jay, those were his mistakes. And that's not me conjecturing. That's not speculation. That is now fact. We have a document from the FOIA investigation, which Andy referenced, where the D.C. field office said that there was no derogatory information found and that the FBI is closing this investigation. That directive, that memo was not followed, Jay. Why? Because Peter Strzok overturned it at the direction of the seventh floor. You went through some of the names that are on the seventh floor. That also includes Peter Strzok because he was running this investigation. So if there were inexcusable mistakes made, as we now know there were, by the way, those irregularities in the FISA case now, Jay, throws into question everything that that court has done. The inspector general said as much. So those inexcusable mistakes, those were done. Those were the responsibility of none other than Peter Strzok. And by the way, Jay, we can get into more of this if you want, but none other than Slate, The Atlantic, and The Washington Post is now heaping praise on Peter Strzok. That tells you just how in the can for him they are.
Let me tell you somebody who I don't think is putting a whole lot of praise on Peter Strzok. Well, we know Bob Mueller finally fired him during the investigation. But listen to what Attorney General Barr said about this whole investigation.
Building these cases, especially the sprawling case we have between us that went on for 2 or 3 years here, takes some time to build the case. So he's diligently pursuing it. My own view is that the evidence shows that we're not dealing with just mistakes or sloppiness. There was something far more troubling here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And if people broke the law, and we can establish that with the evidence, they will be prosecuted.
All right, so you got a clear understanding of what Bill Barr's prepared to do. So that's number one. Number two, on January 4th or January 5th, no one's really exactly sure there, former President Obama, James Comey, Sally Yates, your friend Andy, Joe yes. Biden, and apparently Susan Rice discussed the transcripts of the Flynn calls and how to proceed against him. Mr. Obama himself directed the right people investigate General Flynn. Now, that came, again, while the FBI that was actually doing the investigation said nothing there. So they were still insisting on trying to take General Flynn down and hurt the incoming administration.
And we have to really be cognizant of the significance of that meeting, Jay, that occurred in the Oval Office. There's a meeting. Obama's there, Comey, Yates, Biden, Susan Rice, and they're talking about things. The meeting concludes, and Obama, the president of the United States now, calls back Biden, and Yates, and starts talking about things. And Sally Yates says she's flabbergasted. She had never heard of anything like this nonsense. She's the deputy attorney general. The FBI reports to her directly. So unless Comey had some grand scheme, I don't believe Sally Yates didn't know this. And the president himself says, and with respect to General Flynn, make sure the right people investigate. That is a directive that makes sure this is taken care of the right way.
All right, but this caused the former FBI director, James Comey, now listen to this, to acknowledge the obvious. General Flynn's phone calls with Ambassador Kislyak, quote, appear to be legit. By the way, Bill Barr said the same thing, an incoming NSA, that would be normal. According to Strzok's notes, it appears that Vice President Biden, Harry, personally raised the idea of the Logan Act. That became an admitted pretext to investigate General Flynn. Now, the Logan Act, which has never been applied successfully in a prosecution and hasn't been raised in, I think, 100 years. What was going on here in your view?
Well, in my view, this was, in all likelihood, a premeditated attempt by the Obama-Biden administration using the FBI and the Justice Department to overturn an election that the Democrats felt that they could never lose in 2016. So essentially, after Hillary Clinton lost, they continued an investigation which was not based on facts, an investigation that was not based on evidence, an investigation that was a wild goose chase, as Peter Strzok admits.
Let me play this for everybody. Will, you want me to play 14? Yeah? Bite six. Okay. Here's why. Okay. Let's set this up. Let's go ahead and listen to this bite, and then let's respond to this.
Before the Trump administration had assumed power, Flynn called Ambassador Sergei Kislyak.
What's wrong with that?
I think what makes a problem is when you look at the content and nature of the things that Flynn tells the ambassador.
This is the incoming NSA, he's saying don't overreact. I mean, because things were changing. So I'm looking at this, Than, and I'm saying, you got the FBI saying, number one, no violation. We should close the investigation. The same day, Obama, President Obama, and Joe Biden are raising, or Joe Biden specifically, are raising the Logan Act. And then you have this, Strzok saying, I don't think these calls were appropriate. As if he can make that determination when the agents that actually interviewed, and they had the transcripts. Flynn knew people were listening to the conversation. Then your reaction, what is the Senate looking into? And probably not so much on this, more focused on the other matter, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, a couple of things, Jay. First of all, Peter Strzok now says it's about the content of the conversations, even though we now know that everybody looked at it, said that it wasn't. Jay, I really think the telltale signal here is what President Obama said. He said, I want the right people investigating. Well, who are the right people? Jay, it would be the people that are going to hold over into the next administration and can keep an investigation open. That's why people like James Comey and Sally Yates would be pulled back in, because while President Obama and Vice President Biden are outgoing, those two would stay behind. Jay, the other important data point I think we have to keep in mind here is that very same day, President Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, made one of those unmasking requests, and then Vice President Biden made one personally a week later. And just very quickly, your question about the Senate, what they're looking into. Everybody knows that they took the testimony of Rod Rosenstein and Sally Yates. What a lot of people don't know, Jay, is behind the scenes, they've also interviewed Joe Pienka. People will remember him. He was the agent that was with Peter Strzok when they interviewed General Flynn. He also gave a defensive briefing to President Trump. I will just tell you, the wheels are moving behind the scenes. You mentioned John Durham, also the United States Senate. Jay, if I were Peter Strzok, the last thing I would be doing is a publicity tour. He probably needs to be in a much more defensive posture.
I would think if I was his lawyer, I'd be advising him probably not to do a publicity tour. There was a meeting in the Oval Office regarding General Flynn. That took place on January 5th. Sally Yates testified, as revealed in the recently House Intelligence Committee depositions, that she attended the Oval Office meeting that included President Obama, James Comey, Vice President Biden, then CIA Director John Brennan, and James Clapper, among others. After the briefing, Obama asked Yates and Comey to stay behind, and this is what you were saying, Andy,
right.
And said that he had learned of the information about Flynn and his conversation with the Russian ambassador and sanctions, and that President Obama specified that he did not want any additional information on the matter, but was seeking information on whether the White House should be treating Flynn any differently given the information. What were they doing there?
Well, what were they doing?
Yeah.
They were conspiring to set Flynn up is what they were doing, and the President of the United States was part of it. Make sure you get the right people on the situation. Why didn't they discuss it when the whole group was together? No, he wanted his closest allies to stay behind. So he asks Yates, the deputy attorney general, who was to become, right, acting attorney general, right, because the President Trump asked her to stay over, and she knew so much about the Muslim travel ban, more than the Supreme Court of the United States, of course, so said it shouldn't be enforced. So Yates stays behind, Comey stays behind, and they want to talk a little bit about the Flynn investigation. And then, so Obama had his fingers in this thing very deeply, Jay.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on, and there was a determination on the part of Obama and these people to tar General Flynn in some fashion and to discredit him and to either get him, like they say, later to admit something or to lie or to somehow be fired because they didn't want him in power as the National Security Advisor.
Premeditated, Harry?
Absolutely. So I think you had a premeditated plan to target Flynn so you could continue the investigation of the incoming president. That, I
say
think,
that again. I think it's very, I'm only got a minute 20. Say that again. Very important.
So you had a decision to target Flynn, a premeditated, deliberate attempt to target Flynn, so you would then have a legal basis to go after the incoming president and to continue this investigation designed to impair and hamper President Trump's effectiveness going forward.
I mean, it's the more you look at this, the worse it gets. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. What's going to happen on this? What does it all mean? We're going to talk about some ACLJ victories. We've got a lot more to do coming up. I'm glad that we got our studio back. Feel like we're back in some form of normality here. Everybody's still being careful. We're social distancing. Harry is way away. Doesn't look that far from me on the, maybe on the set, but.
But almost in another building.
I'd say, no, I'm not quite in another building. Andy about 10 feet. Harry about 20, I guess. But it was working. All right. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And I want to put up that baldbeagle.com. Listen, folks, Logan and his team have put together a very creative thing for your kids and grandkids and want you to support it. There's a link to donate. It goes to the ACLJ for this project. Baldbeagle.com. Do it.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
A family reunion here. We're all talking about our new glasses. Everybody got new glasses. Hairless. Well, I'm going to do cameo shots here for our audience on radio, on TV. And I'll tell radio. Andy's got blue.
Blue. I love blue.
They're big.
Big, so I can see through them.
Harry's got new ones. What color?
Blue.
Blue. And I've got blue I wore yesterday. They were cobalt blue, but today they're a little bit red. So that's what happened when during COVID. Fan, you don't wear glasses. Can we send you a pair just for fun?
I feel a little left out, Jay.
Huh?
I feel a little left out.
Well, you're young. You will one day. All right, we're going to take some calls. I want to talk about some ACLJ cases, and we'll get back to the Peter Strzok thing. Jerry, Rhode Island, you're on the air.
Welcome back, team. It's good to hear you all in the studio. Out in radio land, it feels so cozy. I'm going to go get my cardigan sweater.
There you go. Blue, well, that's because you're in Rhode Island, so you probably need one already.
Probably. Blue is the color of valor, Mr. Economo. Professor, good to have you back. You know, you sound real.
I am.
Everybody who's doing a book seems to have this mea culpa. Oh, yeah, I might have done something wrong. But Attorney General Barr, having withstood all those hearings, that man's credible. I believe him. Good to have you all back.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Look, I think that Attorney General Barr's handling it the right way. They're going to get to the bottom of it. They are getting to the bottom of it. And I think sooner rather than later, we're going to I don't have any inside information, but I think sooner rather than later, we're going to know. We're going to have more on this when we go back in the second half hour. But I wanted to tell you a couple other things that are going on. Let's go to this right away. The Senate GOP has got a targeted relief package, which, among other things, by the way, and let's go through it, has educational support and child care, which has been a huge issue for the ACLJ. Than, let's go through this. What's in it?
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. I mean, while Speaker Pelosi has been blocking any sort of new stimulus, Leader McConnell has said, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and vote on one in the United States Senate, even though your objective is to block one. And there it's a scaled down version that focuses on what is most needed of the COVID response, Jay. But to start with the education piece that you mentioned, this is something I'm really excited to see the Senate leading on, because this is something we at the ACLJ have been really pushing for. Obviously, as kids go back to school, making targeted relief for kids going to school is going to be the most important. And since most of those kids, or at least many of those kids, are not in a classroom, Jay, there's got to be flexibility. So in addition to the $105 billion that Leader McConnell has put in this bill that the Senate's going to vote on tomorrow, they have included a portion of Senator Scott's School Choice Now Act, which our listeners know we have been supporting. Jay, this will give people tax credits for contributions to scholarship-granting entities for the next 2 years. So kids that can't go to school, Jay, they're going to have the ability to access scholarships for the next 2 years and give parents the ability to provide tailored education to their children. Now, it's an uphill battle in the Senate, Jay, but I think Leader McConnell is doing the right thing. Put the bill on the floor and make senators do their job and vote on it. We'll have that vote tomorrow.
Do you think we do not have enough Republican support to pass it?
There is going to be, I think, a simple majority in the United States Senate. I think you're going to have somewhere between 50 and 52 votes for it, but I don't think you're going to get to the 60 votes to overcome a filibuster, because yep. I do not expect, at this point, Jay, I don't expect any Senate Democrat support. Going to be pretty telling.
You know, Harry, this is, from a policy standpoint, I mean, this really harms the American people.
Yes, and it harms disproportionately disadvantaged kids. And so it was heartening to see at the state level in North Carolina, they have passed a modest increase in school vouchers over the objections of the Democratic governor of North Carolina. But I think virtually every rational person understands that the approach that we have taken with respect to opening public schools is an absolute, utter mistake. And it's a mistake because it places at risk the future of kids. And so most Americans on either side of the political platform, they are supportive of opening schools and increasingly supportive of school choice, particularly if the schools themselves are not open. Meantime, of course, what are teachers' unions doing? They are basically saying, we need to keep our salary. We don't want to put our lives at risk, but we want to put at risk the future of children, black, white, Hispanic throughout the United States. And so I think the Republican initiative in this bill, I think, is a step in the right direction.
What, from an economic standpoint, Than, what are you seeing in the bill, and where do you see it going?
Yeah, a couple of very important provisions in my view, Jay. Another extension of the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. Obviously, those dollars are needed for small
businesses.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, Jay, maybe the thing that we'll call the bluff of the left is the extension of the federal unemployment benefits. Right now, the dollar figure in the bill is an additional $300 per week from the federal side in addition to what's on the state side. But here's really the key, Jay. Speaker Pelosi has been saying that she wants additional unemployment benefits, but she won't agree to any level. I mean, there was an offer from the Senate to extend it at the existing $600 level, and she rejected it, saying it was not enough. Well, now there's a compromise at $300 a week, and she's opposing that as well. So she's telling the American people she supports federal unemployment insurance, but she's opposing every proposal that goes forward. Jay, I think those two measures on the economic side, the small business support, the loans and the assistance, and then as well as the federal unemployment insurance, I think those are probably the most important pieces.
Yeah, I agree. Andy, you know, you've been out and you've been in Georgia, you've been in Tennessee, so you've been around. The PPP, which has kept a lot of these small businesses going, has been a very important part of this. And then you add the School Choice Initiative, which we've been really big advocates of, because these underserved kids, less access to computers, less capabilities to do virtual learning, which is difficult anyways, this is the kind of plan that really helps individuals right where they are, and this politics on this is really terrible.
Really, playing politics with children, which is what Pelosi and Schumer are doing right now, is really a horrible thing. We have worked, as you know, Jay, with boards of education, school boards, I know in Georgia and in other jurisdictions, to try to get them to get...
All over the country,
yes, but I know particularly in Georgia, in Gwinnett County, Cobb County, City of Atlanta Public Schools, Fulton County, and so forth, and trying to get kids who need computers, who are mentally challenged in some fashion or educationally challenged or handicapped in some way, to have the kind of appropriate computers that they need to do to be able to work at home because they can't attend school. And these politics that these Democrats are playing that prevent these minimal requirements to educate a child to go through are reprehensible, and they should be ashamed of themselves for doing it, and then to criticize the Republicans for trying to enact some form of relief through the Paycheck Protection Plan and through the educational and child support programs is really an awful thing, and they need to be exposed
on it. We've gotten a great response, too. We've been able to help a lot of families. I mean, it's one-on-one help here, folks. That's what the ACLJ is doing on this. I was talking to Skip Ash, our senior counsel. Even Skip, lawyers been practicing law 30 years, are handling these cases to help parents. And, you know, when you get the computer resolved or you get the special access resolved, that's a big victory for that family, and your support of the ACLJ has made that happen. Your support of the ACLJ also allowed us to go to the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday on national security issue involving the border wall and border fencing. That brief was filed with the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday. All of this happens because you support the work of the ACLJ. And then on top of that, our creative team, and I think this is just fantastic, concerned about your sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters being not able to get a true view of history. People are trying to cancel history. Have come up with a channel for kids as part of the ACLJ. It's called, there it is, Bald Beagle. You can go to baldbeagle.com and you can sign up for it right there. And you can also go to the YouTube channel. You'll see it right on that page and subscribe. And there's going to be videos up there and puppets. And I mean, they've done a great work. Looks like as good as Sesame Street. And it really does. Going to give these kids an understanding of the history that is now going to be denied in the United States of America in many cases, unfortunately. We're responding to that, too, with that kind of advocacy. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org, baldbeagle.com.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We'll be right back. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. All right, we just talked about a lot that was going on in Washington, a lot of ACLJ cases. Welcome to the second half hour of the broadcast. I want to get back to what is interesting development, and that is Peter Strzok is recasting history. Now, he's the agent that said there was... Do we have played the bite where he has no political animus? Okay, I want to go ahead and play that one. This is the guy that said he had no political animus. Take a listen.
Every agent has their own opinion. I have my own personal opinion as well. Every day, though, around the United States, government employees walk into their jobs and they leave their political opinions at the door. They do their job like I did my job, objectively, independently, and in pursuit of the truth.
What are you talking about? The information, he was fired by the special counsel because of an animus against the president, where he said, we're not going to allow the president to be elected. Don't worry, we have an insurance policy. Andy, what is he talking about?
He's talking about something that is just unintelligible. He's trying to justify the actions of what he is, and that is a corrupt, rogue agent. Peter Strzok is a corrupt, rogue former FBI agent. I worked in the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Georgia for 5 years. I dealt with distinguished FBI agents who did indeed leave their politics at the door. We dealt with mail fraud cases. We dealt with murder cases at the United States Penitentiary in Atlanta. We dealt with all kinds of fraud cases because I was doing mainly economic crimes. I never once had an agent come to me with a political axe to grind or a political agenda before him. Peter Strzok had a political agenda, and his agenda was to discredit the candidate and the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and to do everything he can to make sure that Donald Trump was not elected. When his girlfriend said, oh, is this going to happen? No, 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 don't worry, it'll never happen. And you tell me you don't have a political animus and you left your political feeling outside the door? Liar, you did. And it's obvious that you did, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself to have called yourself an agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Harry. Judy on Facebook asked this. If these were mistakes made, wouldn't Strzok be responsible for them as the chief counterintelligence investigator?
Absolutely. And so he wants to recast himself as an objective, neutral observer who perhaps was overworked. Meantime, he admits that the investigation was riddled with mistakes. He admits that the investigation was indeed a wild goose chase. He essentially admits Horowitz has proven that there was zero evidence. There are zero facts on which to launch an investigation. But Peter Strzok now blindly claims that the Christopher Steele dossier was still a valid basis for launching an investigation. He claims that, notwithstanding the fact that there is clear and unmistakable evidence in the record showing that there was no evidence, for instance, that Flynn lied to the FBI. There was zero evidence that Carter Page was an agent of the Russians. And yet that's what was placed within the FISA application, a process over which Peter Strzok supervised. So at the end of the day, no one should believe Peter Strzok unless he becomes a fiction writer.
Yeah, well, he's writing some fiction, I'll tell you that. Because I'll play that bite when we come back from the break, but I'll save that one for the next segment. Dan, from your perspective on this whole issue in Washington, what do you see, if anything, developing? What do you think is going to be more of a focus on the setup of what happened here? Do you think they are going to really investigate? Lindsey Graham says yes.
Yeah, well, I think that investigation's underway, and I think the fact that some of those interviews have gone behind closed doors is further proof of that. And, Jay, I would just quickly say you called it recasting history. Others have called it bias. The Washington Post said that Strzok delivers a compelling tale. That sounds like fiction to me, Jay. A tale? I would say that's probably about right.
A compelling tale. They probably meant that as a compliment, though, right? But I think a compelling tale. You know, let's look up the definition. What is a tale? T-A-L-E. Like fairy tale? I mean, like story time tale? Like, you know, come on. We got it, Will? No? Not yet? Oh, it could be true. It could be true. I would lean towards the fictitious. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I think I'm going to play the ball. Do we play the full Ball Beagle one today? Is that okay? I want to, some of you may have missed yesterday's program coming back from a holiday. We've got this brand new thing we've launched, a brand new channel for kids. And I think it's great to teach them American history because guess what? And I'm going to go to Harry Hutchinson on this first. History, and look, warts and all, is under attack. I mean, they're talking about removing American history from curriculum right now in elementary and high schools and junior high schools.
Absolutely. And they are already in the process of doing that. In addition, they've launched an attack on math, calculus. In addition to history and all of America's founding,
I'd go with that.
Founding documents.
This was good.
And in meantime, this is disadvantaging disadvantaged kids. We live in an era in which, because of the pandemic, kids are sitting on the curb, literally, near police cars. Why? Because they don't have internet access. And meanwhile, teachers' unions are opposing educating children. So I think Logan's initiative is very, very important, very, very imperative. Not only is he filling a space, he is actually educating children. That's very, very necessary. I think it's going to be very, very accessible. And kudos to him.
Yeah, it's going to be, the content's available free. We're setting up a YouTube channel. We're asking for your support of this project. We had a great response yesterday. You just go over to baldbeagle.com and there's a little donate page and you're getting, goes to the ACLJ, but we're able to kind of track where it's going. And I'm telling you something, folks, and I'm going to let Than speak to this because he's got school-age kids. For me, it's grandkids. You got to understand history. You need to know where the country came from. You need to know the positives, the negatives. It's got to be presented in a way that doesn't just change the history, but explains the history.
Well, you want to learn from your past, Jay, whether it's positive or negative. And of course, the country's imperfect because all people are imperfect. But I think you do have to start from a basis that we live in a country that has been unmistakably blessed by God and blessed by the wisdom of our founders. And, you know, so that's the foundation that we're starting from. And of course, you're going to admit the mistakes that have happened along the way. But I mean, Jay, I live in a city and I'm actually sitting not far from it where they're trying to remove the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial. That would just be a sure path to forgetting the lessons of our history. And I will just tell you, my kids are all grade school level. The thing that I look at the most is who is creating the content that they are consuming, and do I trust them? And Jay, that's why I'm really proud that we've sort of taken this on from both angles. The policy end, to try to get the dollars out of Washington, D.C. and back into the hands of parents who are making these decisions. And then on the content side, with what we're doing with Bald Beagle, making sure that parents have resources from someone they trust, the ACLJ, because I've got to tell you, some of the other places where this information is coming from, Jay, there's definitely a narrative, there's an agenda, and just quite frankly, I'm going to say it bluntly, I don't trust them.
Yeah, you know, we are fighting, before I play the Bald Beagle piece, Harry, we are fighting a counter-narrative that's out there right now.
Absolutely. So one of the things to keep in mind is the New York Times put forward a claimed 1619 project. Now, it is largely fictional, but they won a Pulitzer Prize for fictional analysis.
What does it do?
Well, the 1619 project essentially says that the United States founding was grounded in one thing and one thing only, slavery. Well, that's nonsense, because the United States was founded before 1619, 10 years before any slaves came to the United States. That's number one. Number two, human history has displayed unmistakably that slavery has been around for millennia. And even today, the leading source of slavery in the world is in Africa, as opposed to the United States or North America or whatever. And so one of the things to keep in mind, I think, as Than rightly points out, is the founders of this nation were indeed imperfect people. But they believed in providence. They believed in God who orders the universe. And one of the things that many of the people associated with the 1619 Project are motivated by is the notion that there is no God, that you and I can basically create our own destiny out of nothing. Much of that is simply nonsense on steroids. And I think Logan's initiative is an antidote to this mistaken analysis.
I'm going to play the trailer in a minute because the audio is good too. It's not just for TV. But Andy, you're a historian, and I just wanted you to put in as a historian how important it is to get this history and get it right.
It's important that it be gotten correctly, and it's important that the textbooks that they use, this is what scares me in government-controlled schools. What textbooks are they teaching these children from? I took American history, I took world history in high school, and they were from textbooks that were objectively written, and they talked about the age of discovery, and they talked about Columbus. Now some Christopher Columbus, who in 1492 was commissioned to sail the Atlantic and to find the New World, he thought he was going to the Indies, and he found the New World, he discovered this country. Yes, he discovered America. What? And they're now saying, no, he didn't discover America. We were here already. You were here. You were in the middle of nowhere. You didn't know who you were. And the Mayas and the Incas and the Aztecs were practicing what? Human slavery and sacrifice. Western ways were imposed upon them so that they stopped that. History is a story of oppression. Indeed, it's a story of oppression. But it's also a story of freedom. It's a story of the man's divinization because of Christianity. It's not a bad thing to become a Christian. It's not a bad thing to believe in the sanctity of life. It's not a bad thing to believe in the theosis of Christ and the ability of a human being to become godlike, not in substance, but in energies. These are the things that we need to be teaching our kids and in the public schools, the goodness of America, the righteousness of America, and not how bad and horrible a country we are.
Well, that's exactly what this new initiative, a new channel, a new TV channel on YouTube is dedicated to do. Take a look right now.
Hi, I'm Logan Seculo. Right now, your kids are stuck at home trying to learn online, and the ACLJ is here to help. We believe the great and sometimes complicated history of our nation is too important to let anyone overlook. Not because of a pandemic, and certainly not because of someone's political agenda. But there are people out there right now, even political leaders, that have called to abolish history classes. They want to erase American history from classrooms and from textbooks. And that's why now, more than ever, we need to be honest and educate our kids on who founded this country, how government works, and what, even as a kid, they can do to protect it. You see, creating engaging and entertaining content for kids is one of my passions. I've been blessed to work with the biggest players in the industry, including Disney and Nickelodeon. But there's a glaring hole in that space. A channel that shares the same principles that you want to instill in our next generation. That's why we came up with this exciting new project that will offer fun and educational video content that you can share with your children and grandchildren. It's a brand new channel from your friends at the ACLJ. We call it Bald Beagle. I know it's fun to say, and yes, our logo is a half bald eagle, half beagle, but it'll be even more fun to watch. Bald Beagle will have your children's interest at heart with great content that at times will feel over the top and ridiculous, but it's actually very serious business. Bald Beagle's initial launch will be on YouTube. We believe our content needs to be available to kids where they are. And if your kids are anything like mine, that's YouTube. You have a unique opportunity to be part of this revolutionary endeavor.
Did somebody say revolutionary?
As you can see, we're busy here at the studio, but our goal at Bald Beagle is to produce high-quality educational content from a source you know and trust, the ACLJ Creative Team. It can be used as a supplement to what your kids' schools are offering them, for homeschooling, or as just a safe entertainment space where you as a parent can relax. The quality of Bald Beagle content will compete with the top players of cable TV, streaming services, and other YouTube content being produced by, well, who even knows?
I'll never unsee that.
To do that, we have to be constantly creating and releasing exciting new videos on the Bald Beagle channel. And the truth is, that kind of production schedule requires resources.
Logan said release the horses!
No! Resources!
Race horses!
No, resources! We'll get this handled. Your generous support makes it possible to teach and inspire your kids and grandkids for years to come, all while filling your home with smiles, singing, and laughter. And what more could you really ask for? George Washington once referred to kids
as the future guardians of the liberties of this country.
Right. And we at the ACLJ and Bald Beagle believe we must provide an option now to raise those future guardians.
I like the sound of that.
Me too. If you believe in this mission and want your kids and grandkids to benefit from an educational entertainment platform that honors the same core values you do, help us launch Bald Beagle. Visit baldbeagle.com today.
Hey, so radio and TV audience, let me encourage you to do something. Go to the baldbeagle.com website. We're putting it up on the screen. But it's just like it sounds. Bald, B-A-L-D, Beagle, B-E-A-G-L-E.com. They're calling it Beagle because when I was in law school, I had a beagle named Bagel. So there you go. Baldbeagle.com. And subscribe to the YouTube. It's very self-explanatory there. Donate, support the work so these new videos can come up. Makes a big difference. So whether it's in the media, doing advocacy like this with Bald Beagle, the Supreme Court, or in Washington with Fans Group, we're fighting for you. We're going to continue to do that. ACLJ.org. Coming back soon.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Segment, so we take your calls on any topic and take your Facebook questions as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Susie on Facebook says, how can people get away with all the lies? It appears there are two justice systems for those in power on the seventh floor of the FBI building. Andy?
Yes, there are two justice systems, or there were. They're not anymore. Bill Barr, who is one of the most, in my view, the best attorney general of the United States since Griffin Bell, who served as Attorney General under Jimmy Carter when I was a U.S. attorney in Atlanta, has exposed the reality of what was going on in the FBI and in the Justice Department and is clearing out that swamp. So there are lies, and there are and have been two justice systems, the one for the powerful, the almighty, those who were in the deep state, but that's being exposed by Bill Barr and by John Durham, the specially appointed prosecutor, and we're going to get away from that, and we're going to cancel that out. That's going to take some time, and it's going to take an effort, and I hope it continues beyond January the 20th, Jay.
Harry, we got an interesting question here also, and I like the tone of it because it kind of sets up this cancel culture, which you've talked about. And this came in from Kathy, and she says, our founders were imperfect. There's no doubt about that. But so is the cancel culture. They should take a look at themselves to see their own imperfections. But let's talk about the founders were imperfect. They weren't perfect people. And the cancel culture is real.
Absolutely. The cancel culture is grounded in the notion that we can reach perfectionism on the basis of our own efforts. And so the individuals who are leading many of these cancel culture efforts, they're individuals who believe that they have a perfect perspective on, for instance, anti-discrimination, the anti-discrimination principle. What they don't seem to realize is that their approach would have a disproportionately adverse effect on the most disadvantaged members of our society. So, for instance, if you actually look at the Black Lives Matter website or the Antifa website, what do they want to do? Inherently, they want to destroy, for instance, the African-American family, which was the most stable family structure in U.S. history from 1890 to around 1950. And if you look at the level of economic progress enjoyed by African-Americans in the United States, the level of progress was at a much faster rate from around 1940 to 1970 than afterwards. And why is that? In part because you had intact family structures. And so the Black Lives Matter movement, that whole cancel culture, typically backfires. And so if you look at Seattle, they set up an independent anarchist jurisdiction called CHAZ. And then if you look at all of the shootings that took place in CHAZ, six individuals were shot, two were killed. All of them were what? African Americans. So the whole entire cancel culture is grounded in the notion of perfectionism, but perfectionism that backfires on the intended group. And so I think it's a huge, huge mistake, and I hope the American people, from Michigan to Ohio to California to New York and Florida, they understand that the cancel culture is grounded in destroying America.
I agree with everything Harry just said. Let me tell you, we're getting a lot of comments coming in about our new Bald Beagle channel for the kids. Joan on Facebook said, I feel like Bald Beagle is the schoolhouse rock for a new generation. That's the idea. Howard said, I hope Bald Beagle is just the first step in more educational content. It is. If you support it, if this is something you want, go to that Bald Beagle page, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can do it right from the Bald Beagle page and support the work right there so they can produce more content. That's the idea. Then Stephanie said, I also had a beagle named Bagel. So I guess that wasn't so original. There you go. But Bagel was a good dog. And the idea here is that we are going to – look, we do every – we try to take every platform we have to advance positions, whether, as Andy said earlier, whether it's a life position, free speech, freedom of religion, or here, history. And we want to be able to reach as many generations as we can. So what's unusual about, I think, one of the most unique things about the American Center for Law and Justice is that we have programs now for literally, I guess you would say pre-K, to grandma and grandpa, like us. And that's worked, and that's a good thing. We want to have information available to the broad swath of our communities to teach about history of America. It, like Logan said, it's going to deal with some of the not-so-nice things, but in an appropriate way. Not in a cancellation culture that is so prevalent today. I want to go to Than Bennett, though, because I want to play one last thing on the Peter Strzok matter. Haley Jackson from NBC, who I know, this is bite number 24, sets up this whole thing about, was the president a counterintelligence threat? Take a listen.
Without exaggeration, President Trump's counterintelligence vulnerabilities are exponentially greater than any president in modern history.
So do you think the president is a national security threat?
I do.
Well, Bob Mueller, fan, spent 3.5 years and concluded he wasn't.
Let me tell you who is a national security threat. Any agent or any agency that spies on American citizens based on information that they know is fraudulent. Any agent who opens a case, as Peter Strzok did, I've got the document right here, without grounding. Any agent who overturns the recommendations of a D.C. field office. OJ, I've got that document right here. It happened on January 4th. Here, let me just say quickly two things, though. Susie mentioned, how are they going to get away with this? I don't think they are, Jay. We've got the truth, and I think they're not going to get away with it. But here's the thing I want people to really understand. Here's why it's so difficult, and here's what we're up against. Slate, obviously a leftist institution, they say that the United States needs a hero. Jay, they make that comment in reference to Peter Strzok. So much of the institutional apparatus thinks these agents are heroes. That's what we're up against. But in the end, Jay, I'm telling you, the truth's coming out.
They were undercutting the foundation of liberty and democracy in the Constitutional Republic.
Look, without the vote, you have nothing. That is the time when I am by myself in the voting booth and have the right to express my opinions, not in these stupid polls that come out, but in the vote. And when you are in and you have made a decision, as Peter Strzok and his girlfriend did, that they were going to undermine the system and make sure that the president, the candidate who was running for office, was not going to get elected, and they were going to take all the measures against that, they were the ones that were undermining national security, not the president of the United States, Donald Trump. Remember, the most important thing is to counteract this, is to vote.
Well, that's for sure. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We're going to be back with you tomorrow. I do want to encourage you again to be part of our team. How you do that? We support the work of the ACLJ. Now, we say that all the time, but you're seeing also now these initiatives that we're launching. And this new one for kids, I am really excited about. Baldbeagle.com. So there it is on for those watching on television or social media platforms. Baldbeagle.com is a great way for you to stay engaged in everything that these kids need to see about history. And your support of it makes a big difference. So just subscribe to it. Just go to the website. You'll tell you how to go to YouTube, subscribe to YouTube, share it with your friends, get people involved and support the work, for that makes a difference. I think we had an email that went out on that today, I believe, right, Will? Yes, we did. So there's an email out on that also today. I encourage you to subscribe to baldbeagle.com. And, of course, support the ongoing work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We couldn't do what we do, including bringing you this broadcast from our studios with our team back in place, which is great. I feel like a new day has arisen. We couldn't do it without you. So, again, thank you for all of your work and support. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.